1993, Cal Ripken Jr. The game. Texas Rangers 7, Baltimore Orioles 4 at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in Baltimore. Attendance 46,145 on Monday, April 5th, 1993. The weather? Overcast and 40s. Hall of Famers, Orioles shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., pitcher Mike Mussina, and designated hitter Harold Baines, and Rangers catcher Ivan Rodriguez. Game highlights. As fans arrived for Oriole Park's second opening day, they found the Reverend Jesse Jackson leading a peaceful protest outside the ballpark, calling for increased minority representation in baseball front offices. Not enough had changed since that infamous Ted Koppel, Al Campanis interview on opening day 1987. Inside, a pair of two-run homers by Dean Palmer and Juan Gonzalez headlined a five-run third inning for Texas off Baltimore starter Rick Sutcliffe, and that proved to be enough. The 23-year-old Gonzalez would return to Oriole Park 3 months later with teammate Ivan Rodriguez to play in the MLB All-Star Game. The story. During my 50-year opening day streak, no player had a more profound impact on the game than Cal Ripken Jr. After the 1994 player strike canceled the World Series and nearly crippled the game, Cal was the game's unifying force. At the tribute following his final game in 2001, Commissioner Bud Selig reflected on Ripken's significance in 1995. When baseball needed a hero, Cal Ripken was there for us. Cal's incredible story could have been placed in this book almost anywhere between chapters 1983 and 2001. I spent opening day with him 19 times, more than anyone else. I placed this story here in 1993 not because of some heroic achievement or special personal memory. There were many. It's here because this was his first opening day without his dad in the dugout, and the first in 6 years without his little brother as a teammate. After the 1992 season, Cal Sr. and Bill were victims of the cold reality of the business of baseball. On opening day 1993, as a Ripken, Cal Jr. stood alone. It was a weird day. If you were to map Ripken's most memorable moments on a master calendar, certain months would stand out. April would not be one of them. July, September, and October would command your attention. During his 21-year career, Cal Jr. played in 19 All-Star games, all but one in July, a month that also included his 2007 induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He played in 28 postseason games, all but one in October, the month that also included the emotional 3,001st and final game of his career in 2001. September memories were many, including his milestone 400th home run in 1999 and the low-key final 2,632nd game of his consecutive game streak in 1998. September also included two of the most memorable regular season games in baseball history, the nights he tied and then broke Gehrig's unbreakable mark of 2,130 straight games without a day off, September 5th and 6th, 1995. April had one memorable milestone, Cal Jr.'s 3,000th career base hit in 2000. There was another April memory, though, he'd just as soon forget. His dad was relieved of his managerial duties just 6 games into the 1988 season. Cal Sr. returned a year later as third base coach under manager Frank Robinson. Yet almost every year for as long as Cal Jr. could remember, April featured the one day the Ripken family looked forward to more than any other. Opening day. Maybe not this year, though. Opening day 1993 was awkward. The Ripken family probably wanted to get it over with as quickly as possible. In their own way, each needed to move on. For the first time in their lives, Cal Jr. and Bill were on opposite sides. Their dad was home with their mom, Vi, about 30 miles up the road, watching the game on TV. 6 months earlier, after 37 years in various coaching roles with the Baltimore Orioles, he was the only member of manager Johnny Oates' staff not invited back. They offered him a demotion to minor league instructor. He declined. 2 months later, Bill was released. He later found a job in Texas. Bill and Cal Jr. had played more than 600 games together in the middle of the Orioles' infield. While Big Brother was always the far superior all-around player, the Orioles had one of the best double play tandems in the majors from 1988 to 92, with Cal Jr. at shortstop and Bill at second. From birth, the Ripken boys knew nothing but baseball. In his 1984 book, Why Time Begins on Opening Day, Washington Post columnist Tom Boswell wrote of Cal Sr., his wife, and kids, quote, "Ripken uprooted his family 9 times as a player, then 9 more as a manager, taking them to every town. Yet through all these dislocations, the family grew together, not apart. We made friends with each other because we were moving so much that we were always leaving our other friends," says Cal Jr. now. Bringing the Ripken trio together on the same team took more than a decade to develop. After 13 years as a minor league manager, Cal Sr. became an Orioles coach in 1976. Cal Jr. was drafted by the Orioles in 1978 and made it to the majors just after his 21st birthday in September 1981. Billy was drafted by the Orioles in 1982. The younger brother became a good big league player. The elder, one of the greatest of all time. In 1987, during their dad's only full season as manager of the club, Bill joined his brother and father at Memorial Stadium for a most memorable half season. After Robinson replaced Cal Sr. in 1988, the Ripken boys played on. Both Bill and Cal Jr. acknowledged opening day 1993 was a strange day. "When there's a bullet hit to second base, you don't expect it to be your brother making the play," Cal Jr. told Jim Henneman of The Sun. "That made it real. It made it final in my mind." "For several rewarding seconds," Henneman wrote, "Bill got top billing. During the pregame introductions, he got a longer, louder ovation than his more famous brother." "It was nice, real nice," said Bill. "It made me feel good. Made me feel like the people liked the way I played here." His brother thought it was nice, too. "I think it was an indication of their appreciation for the kind of player Bill is," he said. "It made me feel good, and I'm sure it made him feel good." Baseball can be a generational game for families. The Ripkens did it their way. So did my family. My dad took me to baseball games when I was very young. His grandchildren and great-grandchildren had similar experiences. Some of my son's most memorable experiences had something to do with Cal Jr. Kate and I had 6 children, including 4 boys. Each had their Ripken moment. In October 1991, 6-year-old Brad, who was born just before opening day 1985, helped me entertain clients at the final game at Memorial Stadium. The Orioles capped a season to remember with a brilliantly choreographed post-game journey down memory lane. It included more than 100 retired Orioles reunited at their former home one last time, each trotting out to the position they once occupied during the glory days and 6 World Series seasons. The soundtrack from Field of Dreams filled the stadium, including the powerful voice of James Earl Jones. Stars of the past and present emerged not from a cornfield, but from the Orioles' dugout. At shortstop, 31-year-old Ripken joined his predecessors, including Mark Belanger and Luis Aparicio. I cried. On August 6, 1995, 9-year-old Patrick was on my shoulders in the right field bleachers, just below the 4-digit banner across the 3rd story of the B&O warehouse. It kept track of the drama all summer long. 2050, 2051, skip to 2128, 2129, 2130. In the middle of the 5th inning, the game became official. The Oriole bird mascot released the final banner. The 0 became a 1, and Gehrig's unbreakable record was broken. the game stopped for more than 20 minutes to allow a national television audience and more than 40,000 fans in Oriole Park to celebrate. Adults cried freely. The entire Ripken family, the Oriole family, the baseball family. Cal's famous victory lap passed right in front of us. Dad cried again. And when it came time for Cal to say his final farewell at the end of the 2001 season, our youngest son, Greg, scored a memory and a sports collectible unlike any other. When the game was over, we left his now 16-year-old brother, Brad, upstairs with their grandfather, Vin DeMarco, Kate's dad, while Greg and I wiggled our way as close to the field as we could for yet another memorable celebration. We got to within 10 rows of the field near third base. I recognized Ron Shapiro in the front row, a well-known sports agent who represented many of baseball's biggest stars, past and present, including Jim Palmer, Kirby Puckett, Joe Mauer, Eddie Murray, Cal, and others. I figured if a small 10-year-old could slither his way to the front row, he'd be safely within my line of sight and ensured a great view of the ceremony. I pointed out to Greg the gray-haired man in the front row wearing, as I recall, a brown jacket on the cool and windy evening. I assured my son he was safe. Although I had never met Ron, I suspect Greg thought he was a friend. I never told him otherwise. Full disclosure, I am white. Greg is black. When Greg arrived at Mr. Shapiro's side, Ron turned around, looked for a parent for this lost little boy. He and I made eye contact. I made no acknowledgement Greg was my son, fearing Ron might send him back from his newfound front row viewing spot. Seeing no nearby black faces, Ron seemed to adopt Greg for the next several minutes. Greg's commemorative ticket from Cal's last game is most certainly the only one autographed by Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken Jr., and Dante Bichette, the Boston Red Sox DH and four-time All-Star with the Colorado Rockies, who also had just played his final game. Dante's son, Bo Bichette, made it to the majors with Toronto in 2019. All three visited Ron and his newfound friend, Greg. I never had a chance to thank Ron. Dad cried one more time. Closer to home, my family's off-field encounters with Cal Jr. over the years spoke more to his status in the community. He generously gave of his time, often staying after games, signing autographs when most players had gone home. It devalued his autograph to collectors, but Cal didn't care. Each signature brought a big smile to a child. Here are three such family encounters. Fans respected Ripken's space. One night while living in Bel Air, Maryland, somewhere around 2002, Kate and I were dining at Scotto's, a favorite Italian place. He walked in with a business associate for dinner. During the entire time they were in the restaurant, not one person interrupted them or sought an autograph or photo. Respect. He was not so lucky at Disney World in November 1994. Touristy Florida is not hometown Maryland. Kate and I and the four boys, two girls had not yet come along, were in the Magic Kingdom on a raft heading out to Tom Sawyer Island. We suddenly recognized familiar shipmates. Cal was holding his 18-month-old Ryan. Kelly had their 5-year-old Rachel. They were enjoying a family vacation, not a book signing or photo op. We didn't say a word, not even our sons. Ryan appeared to be asleep on Daddy's shoulder when some photo-hungry guy on the raft asked, "Can I hold him?" Dad politely declined. I, on the other hand, wanted to throw the guy overboard. I was proud of my family's self-control. Respect. That other guy? Not so much. Even our son Daniel, who didn't care much for baseball, had his Ripken moment 3 years after the Iron Man retired. Daniel was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis when he was 11 years old. He spent years in a wheelchair, but battled back thanks to medical breakthroughs and perseverance. In 2004, the Arthritis Foundation presented Cal Jr. with a Lifetime Achievement Award. Like so many arthritis sufferers, Ripken showed up for work every day, often playing through the pain of daily life. 16-year-old Daniel had the privilege of walking, unassisted, across the stage to present the award, one Iron Man to another. Yes, Dad cried again. Respect is what the fans showed to Bill Ripken on opening day 1993 and to his brother throughout his career. The Ripken boys always reciprocated. Cal Sr. wouldn't have had it any other way. As he concluded his farewell remarks to the fans in 2001, Cal Jr. said, "One question I've repeatedly been asked these last few weeks is, how do I want to be remembered? My answer has been quite simple. To be remembered at all is pretty special. I might also add that if I am remembered, I hope it's because by living my dream, I was able to make a difference. Thank you." For the box score, play-by-play, and some memorable family photos, visit openingday5050.com.